Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Some projects during this winter. We're going to get right to our message time today, and if you have a Bible, go ahead and open to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. And we've been kind of going through looking at gifts, because Christmas is all about gifts, but not in the way that we think, not in the commercialization aspect, not because of, you know, buying presents for people, which is, you know, wonderful and a great thing to do, whatever. It's about the gift of God to us, the gift of Jesus to us, which is the most important gift. And our theme verse, we've read every week, and we're going to read it again together today, because it talks about what this gift is for us. So Romans chapter 6, verse 23, go ahead and put that up on the screen if you would, please. Let's all read together. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is what it's about, gang. This is what it's about, this wonderful free gift of Christ to us. And unlike so many things, my daughter destroyed her phone last week, which I guess is a normal thing for teenagers. It drives me crazy. And it happened to be, wow, this is ringing like crazy, Bob. I don't know what's going on here. We just switched the cord, so probably the cord, something's going on there. But what happened is, they used to, when you bought a phone, it came with like a charger and it came with all these different things. Now it like doesn't come with anything. You get a phone and you're lucky if it just has the cord to, they don't even give you the block that plugs into the wall anymore. You gotta buy that separately. It's just kind of crazy. And so many things that you get, you know, you're, as a parent, aren't you frustrated when you have to get a present for a kid and you're putting it back together and no batteries included? You ever had that one mess you up? Or you get things and it didn't come with everything, and then you had to just kind of go and have to run around and find something else. Well, that's not how God's gift of Jesus is to us. Not only does it have everything that we need, but it just has so much more. And so we've been going through some of these individuals in the Christmas story and looking at this gift of Christ to us. And not only does it give us eternal life, but we look with Joseph. It gives us divine direction. We talked about how it redeems our lives. It gives us a new chance and a new hope. We've talked about how having Christ in our lives not only gives us eternal salvation, but it gives us peace. We can have a perfect peace. We've gone through one thing after another. And today, I love this portion of the Christmas story. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And we're going to talk about Mary and about some wonderful things that we can find in the life of Mary. Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was what, gang? Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob." For how long, gang? Forever. "And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "What?" Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, who has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Okay, so Mary is given this impossible promise. She's given this impossible promise that has come to her that she, a virgin, is going to conceive and give birth to a son. Okay, so each week I've had kind of an overarching theme and a main thought. And my main thought today is an important one. It's this: because of Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. Because of Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. For nothing will be impossible with God, is what the angel has to tell her. Mary is given this promise. You're going to conceive and bear a child. And not just any child. The language is all about the promised Messiah. A child who's going to have an eternal kingdom, who's going to sit on the throne of David. Imagine that. Being told the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of God, will be birthed by you. I mean, this is a pretty impossible promise now, isn't it? And what was Mary's response? It was one that I think probably you and I would have, which is this: how in the world is this going to happen? Has God ever given you a promise and you thought, how in the world is that going to happen? Has God maybe ever given you a challenge? How in the world can this happen? I know, like for me, sometimes, you know, we read about things that God has for us and we think, how in the world could that be? Impossible situations. I want you to know something today. Impossible situations. Nothing is impossible for God. God makes impossible promises sometimes, often throughout the Bible and even in our lives. And with us, in fact, it may be impossible. But what we need to understand is the same message that the angel gave to Mary: for nothing will be impossible with God. I want you to realize today, church family, that impossible situations are actually the essential ingredients for miracles. You can't have a miracle without an impossible situation. And God does miracles. I didn't say God did miracles. I said God does miracles. He's still in the miracle business. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Impossible situations are those essential ingredients. And that's what the Christmas story is really all about. Mary has some awesome things for us, church family. And those of you who are streaming online today, she has some awesome things for us about what happens when we become convinced of God's ability to do in the midst of our impossibility. Let me say that again. Mary has some great lessons for us when we become convinced of God's ability in the midst of our impossibility. Because I got to tell you, the way we live in the world right now, we are, and you've heard me say it before, we are like that hee-haw song, gloom, despair, agony, all me. We are like that group. We live in a day and age that we magnify the negative, don't you think? Turn on the news, negative, 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 negative. Why? Because it sells, it gets attention. We are forming our minds to not think like God would have us to think. And we focus on the impossibilities, and what we find in the Christmas story for us today is that impossible situations are essential ingredients for miracles, and that God's ability in the midst of our impossible situations is enough to change our responses. So right off the bat, she wrestles. Her first response is fear. She was greatly troubled. She tried to discern. In other words, this was messing with her. She was trying to figure it out. Anybody ever tried to figure out God? Lord, what are you doing here? God, what are you doing in this situation? It doesn't make sense to me. Guess what? A lot of times in life, it doesn't make sense to you, but honey, it makes perfect sense to the Almighty. God is at work. We like to figure stuff out for, at least I do. I try to get in God's lane all the time. Anybody else? It's like I don't trust God, so I try to get in his lane and try to do for him. And it never works out too well for me. I don't know about the rest of you, but Mary's kind of there. She's in the middle of this mind. How can this be? But here's what I love about Mary, and what I would submit to you as our first thought today. Mary did not get stuck there when she couldn't figure it out. And I would like to say, brothers and sisters, a lot of us get stuck when we can't figure God out. When we can't figure out what God is doing, a lot of us withhold until we figure it out, and then we get with the program. That's not what we see from Mary, which I think is a pretty amazing thing about this woman. It is something that is exemplary. It's something that we should follow this example. Luke 1, 37 and 38. For nothing will be impossible with God. And here's what Mary said. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Wow. Come on, say wow. That is exemplary. That is an example. That is a response. I wish that I had that response, because a lot of times, here's what my response is. The word of the Lord will be like, nothing is impossible for God, and I will be, when I see it, then I'm on board. Does Mary see it yet? Come on now. She doesn't see it yet, and yet she's on board. So first point today of things that we can learn from Mary as we consider impossible situation is this. God can do the impossible when we surrender to him. God can do the impossible when we surrender to him. I tell you what, gang, this is a beautiful thing that we see in Mary. And this is an active surrender. There are times we simply need to get out of God's way. Can I get an amen today? There are times you just need to get out of God's way. And this is an active surrender in faithful obedience and trust. Gang, Abraham had to learn this. Abraham had to learn this. There are times we simply need to get out of God's way. Go ahead and click it a couple times there if you would, bud. So there are times that we have to learn this, because Abraham, think about Abraham. Abraham has this promise that he's going to have descendants that are as numerous as stars in the sky, and yet he does not have a child. And so what does he do? And he realized they're old age, okay? They're past the time of bearing children. And so what does he do? He tries to work it out. He tries to make it happen on his own, and this doesn't work out too well. It births an Ishmael, which is a thorn in their side throughout the years, gang. This is not us trying to get involved. When we realize, when we surrender to God, God can do the impossible. In fact, this is lined up with our very salvation. It's dependent upon you putting your full trust in Jesus, not your ability to fix yourself, as Zachary pointed out this morning in our communion devotion. It's not about us fixing ourselves. It's about surrendering to God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make straight your path. Mary is putting this into practice. You've given me an impossible situation. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm a little bit scared. I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know how it's going to be. So what's my response? Be it unto me. Woo! What a woman. Mary trusted. And I will grant that there was an emotional wrestle and there is a process, but she prayed this beautiful prayer. I am your servant. Be it to me according to your word. Gang, God can do impossible. God can do the impossible when we surrender to him. Let's go on. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. This is pretty amazing. God does impossible things that we surrender. And one of the most powerful blessings for us is to realize it's not about us. I have to admit, there are times that I am guilty of being self-centered. Anybody else? Yeah. There are times that I think it's all about me. And imagine this. I mean, just for a second. Mary is just told, you are going to birth the Son of God who's going to save the world. And her head doesn't get big. Let that sink in. What's her response? She goes and serves someone else? Let's give it up for Mary. It's not about her. I mean, right there, we're already talking to Vistaprint, Mother of the Lord. We're getting our cards. We're getting everything. Everything's about me. Hey, you know what? You need to go rub my feet. You need to go get me some. I'm going to sit down and get me some iced tea. No. Mary recognized that what's going on in her isn't just about her. And when we really get it, when we understand how much God loves us, just what we read today, we're going to love one another. It's not about us. Think about Jesus himself, who was worthy of all praise, who's worthy of all adoration, all honor, who's going to sit in the throne eternally. And yet he came to serve, that he girds himself with a cloth and washes the feet of his disciples who just don't get it. Gang, second point, knowing that God does the impossible helps us to encourage others. Mary is having an impossible situation. She trusts in God, and because she's now locked into God, she is now encouraging others. Knowing that God can do the impossible helps us to encourage another. I mean, think about that. You don't want to go to somebody in a bad situation and say, well, you know what? You really shouldn't trust in God. Because no, you want to give them the truth that God is in fact there. You know what? Well, you know, I sure hope that God's going to do something, but you know, who knows? You want to encourage with your faith and your trust that God is in fact the God of the impossible. Some of us have impossible situations, and we can learn from Mary. You know what you need to do in your impossible situations? The first two steps that Mary did. Number one, surrender to God. And number two, go serve someone else. I mean, there's a prescription. Surrender to God and serve. But what about my impossible situation? Surrender to God and think about somebody else. Well, no. How's it going to work out for me? Surrender to God and go serve someone else. Everybody say, go serve. Go serve someone else. Luke 1:56. And Mary remained there about 3 months and returned to her home. Mary focused on serving while she was going through her own impossible situation. I mean, think about that, gang. This wasn't resolved yet. She was here, you know, just here in her first trimester. All these things are going on with her, and yet she's focused on serving while she's going through her own impossible situation. Let's go on. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 55. And Mary said, and this is what I love. This is called the Magnificat. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing as we get to our final point here today. She's serving. She's surrendered to God. She's serving. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Here's my final thought here today. Not only does Mary surrender, not only does Mary serve, but now Mary sings. In other words, Mary worships. Acknowledging Christ's lordship over our impossible situations compels us to worship. If you have a hard time worshiping God, you need to remember that he is God of the impossible situation. And when you remember that he is God of the impossible situations, that he is the Lord over the impossible situations, it's going to cause you to want to sing out and to worship him. I tell you what, there are times, you know, consider waking up in the morning and think, oh, I have to go to church. Oh, yeah, we got to go to church. At that moment, I get it. I get that. I'm the pastor of the church, and there are times I have to work myself up to come to church. But the bottom line is this. It doesn't take long to just think about all that God has done for us, to think about who he is, to think about his amazing grace, to think about all his benefits, and we acknowledge him even in the midst of our impossible situations, it compels us, like Mary, to worship him. When should we worship the Lord? You should worship the Lord in the midst of uncertainty. In other words, we don't wait to figure it out. Don't wait to figure it out to worship him. That's not what Mary's doing. Mary is in the midst, and she's not waiting till after Jesus is born to worship. She is beginning to worship even at getting this message. I wish that we could learn that. Imagine how different our life would look if we praise God at the beginning of a difficult time rather than having to wait to the conclusion. Imagine how much anxiety we would save ourselves. Imagine how much stress we would avoid if we just give it to God at the beginning instead of, like what I try to do, figure it out, fix it, get in a mess, make a bigger mess, and then have to go to God. Come on, somebody. Imagine if we just, it's like the songwriter said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Gang, worship the Lord. Know that make him Lord over your impossible situations. Give it to him and then worship like Mary. Worship the Lord before you know the outcome. Worship the Lord in spite of your fear. I don't know how this is. This is uncertain. I don't know. I'm afraid. Yet just choose to worship. What about in the midst of your impossible situation? What should you do? Worship. The three things we learn from Mary as God is Lord of the impossible situations is to surrender your life to God, to take part in an active service, to find someone to serve in the midst, and to sing your praise. Surrender, serve, and sing. What a lesson from Mary. What an amazing encouragement for us, as she certainly faced an impossible situation, and we can learn from her example of the impossible situations that God has for us. We can find him and make him Lord over those seasons in our lives. Amen. Let's stand to your feet, and would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we just praise you and we thank you so very much for your great love for us. Lord, thank you that in the midst of our impossible situations, that you're there. And you offer us such a divine fellowship and peace. Thank you for the lessons that we see from Mary, how she just surrendered herself. And Lord, we want to be that same way. how she is an example of service as she went to Elizabeth. Lord, help us to be delivered from the self-centeredness, from the self-focus, from the selfishness. And God, take up our place that you have called us to love our neighbors. Lord, thank you also that we can worship you even when we don't understand all that's going on around us. What a beautiful example as Mary lifts up her voice, as she sings the Magnificat, as she pours out her song of praise, even, Father, in the time of uncertainty. God, I pray for anyone in that impossible situation in their life right now. I pray, God, that they can learn from this wonderful example of Mary. And I pray that as we continue to move on, that we would experience your divine grace. And Father, anyone who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, I pray today, Lord, that they would come to you, that they would lay down their life and surrender and receive you as Savior and as Lord. We pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's children said.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org. Or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.